This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Welcome to the Capricorn FM off-air podcast. This is a very important milestone in the life of Capricorn FM because we are exploring other avenues to have conversations, and we've chosen to use Women's Month to do this. We are expanding conversations that you would otherwise hear on air, some you would not hear on air, and we are doing this by taking this to a different platform, which is the podcasting platform. And Women's Month is the month that we chose to do this. So what does this mean? This simply means that for these podcast series, you are going to hear the different voices of several Capricorn FM women having conversations about issues that they either find important, they either find interesting, or these are conversations that are close to their hearts. All in all, you are going to be exposed to a different side, an interesting side, and hopefully a side that you will enjoy when it comes to these Capricorn FM women presenters. Now, this is the Capricorn FM podcast, Women's Month podcast series, and you're going to be having these different conversations. So I feel so honored and I feel so privileged to be the first person actually to kickstart these conversations. Let me introduce myself. My name is Mpho Mashita, and the conversation that I'm going to be having today, let me give you a background of where this topic or the idea for the conversation comes from. You know, when you would hear the youngins, the 2000 breed, talk about how they'll use this phrase that they would throw around a lot, and they would say, it's not that deep. It's not that deep. And this refers to something that, you know, either when someone mentions it, it doesn't quite seem or feature as a significant issue to them. And they would say, ah, man, it's not that deep. So as a Women's Month conversation, I would like us to talk about femininity. And I'm saying femininity, it is that deep. Because in this conversation, we are going to be unpacking, we are going to be unpeeling just the different ideas around femininity. And we are taking it to what I think is really a deep level. And I brought through women that I really like, that I really admire, because I love how they think, I love how deep they are. And I love the kind of issues that, you know, how they unpack issues and how they just make us understand simple issues and they really expand them. And the first lady that I'm talking to today is Ntabi Sengwejana. Love this lady. She is a spiritual medium and she's the founder of Tebeng Medium Reading. Ntabi Seng, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me on this very important conversation. A first for Capricorn FM as a podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Mpho. I love you too, and congratulations on this beautiful milestone. I think certain these kind of things are very necessary. You know, these uncomfortable conversations are very necessary to have, and I'm so proud of the station for taking this particular leap. I hope there's more where this one comes from, but I am well.
Yeah. No, I'm glad that you're able to join me. And you know, when I love that when I contacted you and said, Ntabi Seng, this is what's happening at Capricorn FM and I want you to join me for this conversation. You did not hesitate, as you usually do. Let me not expose you, but you did not hesitate this time around. And you were so, you know, quick to say, yes, I'm in. I want to be a part of the conversation. So, you know, when we talk about femininity, right? Let me just frame the conversation and anchor it in a spot so that you know that this is where we are going to circulate. This is where we are going to be talking about. I want us to talk about femininity, but more on the spiritual sense. You know, when we talk about femininity, you'd hear people talk about feminine energy and the likes, right? And if we talk about balance, you know that there would be feminine energy, there would be masculine energy and the likes. So maybe get the foundation right for us. When we say feminine energy, what are we referring to? What exactly is that?
Okay. So what feminine energy would mean is that it is the certain characteristics that will come due to the fact that you are a woman, whether it's how you express yourself, whether it's emotions, whether it's the voice and the pitch, or just generally how you are affected by certain things that happen externally and internally, and how you would naturally respond to them by virtue of being a woman. And how you would then express by virtue of how do I connect energetically, you know, if there's a word energetically, how do I express or how do I make a connection with regards to what is happening outside, the external energy and my internal energy, and how do we meet because I am born a woman. So masculinity would be the very same thing, but then happening to men. So I would also then say this whole concept of femininity is now becoming very blur, because it does no longer represent a certain gender. Now you have certain people who are saying, I'm born a man and feeling like a woman. So the concept of femininity then gets to change. And sometimes people would say to men, tap into your feminine side. So it means that there is a feminine energy that even exists in men.
Yeah. I like that, because you know what you are saying is, when it comes to feminine energy, it's not something that exists only in, you know, us as individuals, as people, but it's a concept that really can even be like in the world, right? I mean, in the world, there are different elements and different things that we can attribute the feminine energy and the masculine energy to. I mean, is that correct?
Yes, it's very correct. And I think people who are gay, who are in there, you know, they represent that dynamic very well.
Yeah.
To say somebody is born a different gender, but then their interaction and, you know, their energy is of a certain particular gender. So we can now continue to confine that femininity means that you need to be female in a biological concept.
Okay, and the opposite can be true. I mean, you can be female but have masculine energy. You can be male and have feminine energy, and you can be male and you have a lot of masculinity dominating in your being, right? So I want us to move this to the traditional side of things, right? The concept of femininity, it's not strange to Africa, to the continent, to us as Black people. I mean, we recognize feminine power and we recognize feminine wisdom. Just give us an idea of, you know, in the African tradition, in the olden ways of doing things, you know, how do we recognize the feminine power?
Okay. So in the African concept, women had a lot of power. So the system for a long time, and not just in African setup, but then for the entire world, women have always had too much power. Okay. Everything else, women are much more connected to the earth. Women are much more connected to each other. Women are much more connected to people in families. So, and you know, they play a very adaptive role very, very well. For example, you are born a daughter. One day you will be a mother. One day you will be a makoti. One day you will have to take care of your husband, take care of his family, take care of everybody. So now that particular chain or that particular power to connect is something that comes naturally for you as a woman. So, and the other thing is that when you look at, you know, apart from the connection of community, that is the point that I was trying to make with that example, but when you look at the general workings of women, women are so in tune with nature. And that is why, you know, you have the concept of Mother Nature, because it's a replica of the things that a woman can do, but in a physical form. And again, when you look at certain things on how women are to be affected and how they're connected with nature, when there's a full moon, women will get certain vibrations, you know, certain things will change in their mannerism, in the way that they would respond to the earth. And these are certain things that qualify them as Mother Nature. You know, they give birth and they have this compassion that is deep rooted that men generally do not have. Again, there is also a wisdom element. Now, because of this particular census that women naturally have, you will then find when you retrace the steps in African culture, like you tried to mention earlier, is that women were astute when it came to war. They were war strategists. They were warriors. They could sense a whole lot, because even when people were wanting to go to war, they would then ask the women, is it okay for us to go to war?
Yeah.
They had the memory.
You know what I'm saying? You actually reminding me, you talk about women being warriors and the likes. You know, if you saw Black Panther, yes. Obviously, it had borrowed from different African traditions and just different ideologies in Africa, right? And if you remember, in the movie, they had warriors. And apparently, that is also borrowed from another concept that did exist in the continent. You know, women warriors that were sent to go out to war.
That is very true. Women warriors were sent out to go to war. Women warriors were strategists. I mean, if you look at Shaka, every time he had to go to war, he would ask his mother, Queen Nandi, and Queen Nandi would come up with his tactics on how to fight and how to capture certain nations. And the other thing that women used to do was to actually know very, very well the cosmic energy that is going to be coming. And because they had this memory bank of their own tribes and how it connects with cosmogonity, they were able to know a certain outcome of war. So they were not just relying on the last time we defeated them, maybe this time we'll be lucky. There was a certain insight that they had.
Oh, wow.
And another thing, I mean, you look at the quintancy, I'm going to say the quintancy, you look at people like the Mojadji family, it shows you how women were leaders, how women knew how to rule, and women, you know, knew how to go forward with certain things. So apart from the war thing, there were so many women who were leaders. If you look into the Nigerian concept, the Yoruba people, they draw much from a feminine energy. Even their language were mostly affected by women. Even their celestial beings. When I talk about celestial beings, I talk about things that people would normally go and pray to or worship in a, let's take for example, things like mermaids. In certain Nigerian cultures, they drew very well from a spiritual power that was coming from the water, and they all believed that it was a feminine energy.
Yeah.
So the whole concept of femininity, it then covers spiritually, it covers physically, and it covers generally in the upkeeping of a tribe, you know.
Nice.
And I think you can also mention the word femininity without mentioning womanism as well. You know, a woman is somebody that is able to transcend all realms, you know, the spiritual, the soul, and the mind. When a woman gets pregnant, a soul gets to be deposited in her stomach, I mean, in her womb.
Mm.
So already she is able to carry a soul. And then, you know, to incubate a soul. And then the child grows, physical being inside of the womb. And when the child is born, they are the first person that is shaping a child's mind. So you have the entire concept of body, soul, and mind that can be incubated by one person.
Yeah. You know what I like? I like how you encompass the body, soul, and the mind. But there's also another aspect that I think is very important as well. When it comes to sexuality, right? And before we even get there, what puzzles me in Tabi Singh is if we recognize femininity and we recognize women as leaders, warriors, who embody wisdom and everything, where did it go wrong? I mean, when did patriarchy step into place to a point where right now it really looks like we have lost our power somehow? We are literally, it looks like we are begging to be recognized. We are begging for a seat at the table. Where did we get wrong? Where did we get it wrong? If as a continent, if as black people, we recognized the divinity, we recognized the power, we recognized everything that is divine about women, where did we lose it?
You will be interested to know, Mpo, that patriarchy was a concept that was constructed by both males and females.
Okay.
And it is only now, 12,000 years later, that you see that it was, it did not favor women very well. But initially, when the system of patriarchy started, or when the concept of patriarchy started, it was just to encourage men to be the head of the family, to be the leader of his own immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, it got to be a thing of dominance, a thing of governance. You know, but initially when it started, it was based on the fact that the mortality rates in children were so high that men and women decided, okay, when a mama, after giving birth to a child, nursed the child for this long, make sure that there is longevity that is concerning our children, because our children were dying, and it is largely because they were not attended to. Women had to go into the field and do too many things. So men and women decided to sit and say, okay, you make sure that the tribe actually exists, and then while I go out and become, you know, the man that goes and seeks an income externally.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where the labor... the labor concept or the labor division started.
I see.
And, you know, over time, then it got to be a thing of governance.
Yeah.
But then some people would then tell you that men got jealous. Their ego got got hold of them to say, these people are too powerful. Because initially, even in African setup, the entire world, the matriarchal system was so powerful.
Yeah.
Even the scientists, some people whom you usually discover things, so people like your Maria Carey, these were women. But then they were they got to be dominated with the emergence of patriarchy. And certain things, so how we then started, men just started to say, women should not have the land. You can't get a house because you are a woman. You need to have the head of the family, you know, because that's how patriarchy started.
Yeah.
Only a man can head a family. But then over time, it just got out of hand. It was not intended in bad faith. It was just so that women are sitting at home and making sure that the tribe continues. You know, you're loosely barefooted and pregnant kind of a thing.
Sure. It's scary, though. I mean, if you think about how that has evolved up to where we are right now and how patriarchy, you still see the remnants, you still see the effect, and you still see the negativity of it all. But, Ntabi Singh, as much as you've given us a picture of the body, the mind, the soul, you know, there is one aspect, you know, sexuality, in the sense that sexual liberation for women, it's something that has existed, I think, since the beginning of time. It has been there, whether it was something that was hidden away, whether it was something that was done in broad daylight, but it has been there for a long time. But if you look at us where we are right now, I think the truth is a lot of women, whether in the continent or anywhere else, especially in the continent, especially in South Africa, there is sexual liberation. There is that liberation that women can go out. And I don't know if it comes with economic power. Women can go out, explore certain things and do things that they've been thinking about doing on a sexual level, explore. When you look at how things have turned and where we are right now in terms of that sexual power, do you think as women we are harnessing that power?
I think that power comes so naturally that one would not intentionally say, I am harnessing this particular thing. Because when you look at, you know, prior to civilization, I'm just going to say prior to civilization,
yeah,
you know, sexuality comes in many forms. It's how you express yourself, how you carry yourself, how you feel about yourself. And when you look at how women used to dress, where you're a young girl, you are bare-chested, and you are just covering your godly given asset there. And the mannerism in which women would carry themselves, they would exude that particular sexual language that would then attract a man.
Mm.
You know, women knew how to play with their bodies, knew how to give certain signs that says, I am ready for my sexuality to be explored with you. And equally so, you would then get men, you know, the typical doo-doo baby, you know, to say a man recognizes that you are good enough for sexual exploration. And you would then have men believing that when a woman is chubby, they are ripe, and those kind of women looked like they were fertile. So that sexuality, women knew how to play around with it, knew how to play it. And when you look at certain things like sexual orientation, women in long time ago used to experience sexual orientation amongst themselves before they can even go to say, I'm going to offer my body to a man.
Yeah.
But amongst themselves, they used to explore each other, understand each other's bodies. There's a vast of literature when it comes to that,
yeah.
Especially in the continent, to say they knew how to express themselves within each other, they knew how to express themselves with a man. And when you're talking about the economic liberation and how women are now able to just get pleasure, sexual pleasure outside of
anywhere,
being with a man,
buy anything. Do anything.
Pardon?
I'm saying anywhere. We can buy anything. We can do anything. We can pay anyone. I'm just saying it's accessible. It can happen anywhere.
Because yeah. It comes with the recognition or the realization that whether a man is here or not, I still feel like I need a sexual outlet. So, and I can have that without the entire package that comes with me exploring myself, that comes with being with a male figure. So it's one of those things that women really need to embrace about themselves, to say you are a sexual being as an individual, and you can have a pleasure of such even without the presence of a masculine being.
Love it. I love that so much. Now, you know, in terms of sexuality, still, I just want to keep it there a little bit still, right? In terms of how women have been exploring sexuality and, you know, everything that we've been doing, right now, there's a lot of information, a lot of tools. Do you think that we have an awareness of how powerful sexual energy is?
I don't think people recognize how powerful sexual energy is, Simple. You know, when there's a study that says that when somebody has what we typically call orgasm, the same energy that is existing at the time, it is an equivalent of the same energy that makes things happen in the universe.
I know. I mean, that's creative power, if you think about it. And
It is creative power.
And I mean, it's another conversation on its own in terms of how people use orgasms to create, and if how many people have access to that. You know what I mean? And if there is, there needs to be, maybe let me just divert a little bit. Does there need to be an agreement if someone is tapping into orgasmic power? Like if you are having sexual relations with someone and you know that you want to use this orgasm to create something, do you need to get consent from the next person to say, when I get into this moment, let's be in agreement? Or do you just take that moment to create in yourself? Because this might actually be, you know, a foreign concept to other people, just to say how orgasms are really creative in their nature.
Remember that creation is a thing of thought.
Mm-hmm.
What you think about, you would then get to manifest. So it is not a matter of I need to tell you that at this point something else needs to happen, because it's quite a cognitive thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing that says the universe is open for your thought. So you can do it. You can create a certain outcome by virtue of you just thinking about the outcome that you want to have. So with a person that is very oblivious to this creation process, they can just be doing a sexual interaction for pleasure, and that is all that they are going to be thinking about. It's a pleasurable experience, or I'm just doing this thing for reproductive purposes, and somebody else would be doing it for recreating purposes.
Yeah.
So that is the same dynamic that will then happen when people say, when I'm with a healer, certain things work out very well for me. When I'm dating a healer, certain things work out very well for me, because they are tapping into that energy. But it is something that everybody else has, and people are just not aware of what it is that they can do. So people would just go there very aloof. It's just a sexual encounter.
Yeah.
It is just, you know, it's a reproductive encounter, and do not think about other benefits of such creative energy that is at play.
Yeah. Listen, Type Singh, as we wrap up, I just want to find out, maybe you can leave us as women with what you think is very key for us to understand, to know and to exploit when it comes to feminine energy and what we've just discussed right now, sexual energy as well.
Okay. I think let me just rather catch this from a very spiritual point of view.
Yeah.
To say that in the spiritual realm, spirit does not recognize female or masculine energy.
Hmm.
Spirit is spirit either way. Even when people are gifted, they are gifted because they are just getting into spirit and they can do everything that they require. So there is no discrimination of such.
Okay.
And certain things are man-made. Your patriarchal system, the division that culture and religion has imposed on us, these things are man-made. And we can actually reverse such certain things with enough education, with enough empathy, you know, and these kind of things. We need to really have this dialogue with men. You know, the concept of if you are a man and you're treating a woman right, or you are weak, these are certain things that need to really fall off. But again, when you look at the economical system of the world, you will then see that there is a revolution happening, that women are having the positions. Women are making more money. Women are getting more employed than men. So it shows you that the matriarchal system is slowly coming back. And that is where most women need to embrace it. So you would then find women who are in a certain relationship and they make more money than the men and they feel they need to be subservient. But the spirit is actually putting things together, you know, putting things into place the way that they need to be in.
Yeah.
Because the feminine energy is not something that you can do away with. The feminine dominating power is not something that you can do away with. So women need to get comfortable with the fact that I have this much power. The universe is building me up. Nature responds to me. Everything I touch, I'm touching it for the greater masses. So when we stop being so timid, when we stop questioning our own power, and when we stop thinking that our own power is arrogance, and we get to think it is because I went to school and all of these things, it is because you are a woman, you are attached to Mother Nature. Everything that you do, the universe and the spirit is always open for it to happen. And so when we get comfortable with such things, services, I can even do this thing without thinking about it by virtue of me being a woman.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ntabi Seng. I mean, that was so enlightening. And I hope that there will be women that would love to get into the space that we chose to say femininity. It is that deep, because there's a lot of depth in terms of what we are. If we really scratch beyond the surface, there's more to us than the pretty faces and the brains and the outfits and everything. There is really a lot of depth to us. And thank you for helping us tap into that. Ntabi Seng Wajana, spiritual medium and founder of Tebeng Medium Reading. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.